Oh man. Well, good morning everyone. Merry Christmas. I know it's a little early, Merry Christmas, but I love the Christmas season. I really do. It's a time of the year that we get, we start pulling out the lights, we put the music on, and we enjoy one another's company. But you know what's really cool is that right now, all around the world, believe it or not, people are brushing up against the gospel through song. And I'm so thankful for Mike and Luann for singing those songs and singing praises to our great King about his first coming. But it's pretty awesome. Andrew and I, when we were in Cambodia, the first year we got there in 2001, and there was no such thing as Christmas in Cambodia in 2001. Nothing at all. And about 2006, they started bringing in Christmas ornaments, and they started bringing in more artificial Christmas trees. So more and more Cambodians started like celebrating Christmas. But they didn't really, of course, don't understand the meaning of Christmas. To them, it was a time that you give people presents and have parties. But I love it. We would go into the stores and, you'd sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You know, you hear songs like Joy to the World, where we hear the word, the truth that let the earth receive its King. You know, he rules the world. And these are truth that the world doesn't know. They have no idea. But I remember Andrew and I went out for dinner a week before Christmas, and Santa Claus, we're in Cambodia, and Santa Claus came up to our table, and he was really skinny, and he was really dark, and it was so funny. His beard was falling down, you know, but it was funny. It was cool to tell him the true meaning of Christmas, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, because Christmas is for the weary. Christmas is for the weak. Christmas is for us. And I just want to talk about that this morning. And I know Christmas is often wrapped in brightness, lights, and energy. And none of that is wrong. But Christmas, the birth of Christ, didn't first begin with cheer. It began in darkness. And the longer I have walked with the Lord, the more I realize that Christmas isn't for children. It's for us adults. And this morning, we're just going to go through briefly why I mean that, and why I believe that is true. But before we do, I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 9, just one verse, verse 2. And it says this, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And you shall multiply the nations, and you shall increase their gladness. This scripture is talking about the coming Messiah. And it's amazing that he's talking about there's this great darkness. And Isaiah is not describing a people running in darkness. They're not running. They're not celebrating. They're not dancing. They're in spiritual darkness. They're walking slowly, very heavenly, step by step, difficult, uncertain. This is the pace of weary people. Many of us know this walk. We know what it is to carry our sorrows. We know what it feels like to carry our burdens, the weight of many years on these bodies of ours, the walk of unanswered prayers. Lord, why haven't you saved my son or my daughter or my brother or my sister? We feel physical weakness, spiritual weakness. We feel loneliness, and loss. And it is precisely that world, not a cheerful one, but a weary one, that Christ arrives. He arrived to a people who are walking in darkness, but they will see a great light. Christmas is not God rewarding the strong. He's rewarding the weak, the weary, the lost, the sinner who cannot save himself. Christmas, the birth of Christ, is God's announcement to the world that I see you, I love you, and I am coming to you. The great message of Christmas is this, that God draws near. God draws near. And I love it. Yesterday we were standing outside talking to someone, and it's every year someone will say, you know, we don't really know the exact date of Christ's birth. And that's true. Scripture doesn't give us the exact date of Christ's birth. But Scripture gives us something better. It tells us that God keeps His promises. It tells us that God, the Son, truly entered into human history. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I love it. I love it that we do celebrate Christmas in the winter time, a cold time, the coldest time of the year, and also the darkest time of the year. Today is December 21st, winter solstice. It's the shortest day of the year. We'll have more darkness today than any other day, and that's today. In Christ, I love it. The church, we haven't taken this pagan holiday. We have decided that this is the time we're going to celebrate because it's the coldest time of the year and the darkest time of the year for us to remember that light came into this world to save us, that God keeps His promises. So my first point this morning, God draws near in our weakness. God does not wait for the weary. He doesn't wait for sinners to come to Him. God comes to us. God comes to us. That is one of the greatest promises in the whole entire world. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. God's with us. That's what Christmas means. This is not some poetic title. This is probably one of the greatest theological truths that we could ever understand, and we can't. Because the eternal, self-existing, all-powerful God did not remain distant. He did not shout instructions from heaven. He did not send a list of requirements. He came down to us. And today we're doing this Christmas special message, but in a few weeks we're going to be back. Well, next week we'll be back in Philippians, but in a few weeks we're actually going to go over Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. And that verse really is the theology of Christmas. It reveals what God the Son was willing to do for us, to redeem sinners. That though Jesus eternally existed as God, and He possessed full equality with Him, He did not cling to His divine privileges, but He humbles Himself by taking the form of a slave, becoming fully human, and living among a sinful people in complete obedience to the Father. His humility reached the depths, so much so that He died on the cross, where he willingly, purposefully laid down his life. He endured shame. He endured the wrath of God for our sins. And because of his perfect obedience, God has highly exalted him and restored him to glory and bestowed on him the supreme name. And we're going to study that in a few weeks. Jesus is one person with two natures, 100% God and 100% man, forever. Without confusion, without conflict, without any change or division or separation. That Jesus came to us. He came to us. The Son of God entered our world through weakness. He was conceived in a womb, born as an infant to a young Jewish girl. He was laid at his birth in a feeding trough. This child, this baby, will experience hunger, fatigue, rejection, grief, and sorrow. And he lived under the limitations of a human body. And we ask, why? Why would he do that? Because God does not wait for us weary sinners to climb their way up to him. He comes down to us. Christmas is us celebrating that Christ, God the Son, came down to us. And this is a really weak illustration. But many of us have children or grandchildren. And how often when you see a little kid and they're talking to you, that we kind of kneel down to see him eye to eye. So we can talk to them. We stoop down. That's what God did for us. He stooped down so we could see us eye to eye. It's glorious. And the manger declares this truth loudly and clearly. That weakness does not repel God. Weakness does not disgust God. It draws his mercy, and he draws us through his mercy. It draws his mercy. And I know some of you may feel your weakness today intensely. Our bodies aren't working like they used to when we were younger. They're not as strong as they once were. Our energy fades faster than it used to. We used to walk a quarter mile, a half a mile, 5 miles. Now we can barely get to the bathroom. And maybe some of you today, you feel lonely. You feel overlooked. Maybe you feel forgotten. Maybe you just feel disregarded. But you know what Christmas says? Christmas says otherwise. The Son of God came down to you. To find you. To call you to himself. And he entered into our weakness so that none of us could ever say, God, really, you just don't understand me. No, Jesus can understand everything about us. Dear saints, Christ understands you. And that's point number one, that God draws near in our weakness. Second thing Christmas declares that God draws near to keep his promises. To keep his promises. Just by the way, I know some of you may even be thinking about the word Christmas. You know, it's actually not a Latin word. It's an old English saying. The word mass meant to gather, to serve. So the word Christmas literally means Christ worship service. That's what it is. Christmas means to worship Christ, a gathering of God's people to rejoice that the anointed one has come. So, Christmas declares God draws near to keep his promises. And here's a truth I want you to hold on to. God is never late. He never breaks his word. In Isaiah 9, the words I just read, Isaiah not only speaks of darkness, he speaks of a light breaking into this darkness. And he does this centuries before Christ will ever be born. Isaiah 9 was written probably approximately 700 years before Christ was born. That's amazing. Think about it. Generations of Hebrew people lived and died holding on to the promise that one day in their darkness, light will break forth. 7 centuries. And it's pretty clear that a lot of them died without seeing that promise fulfilled. And yet, not one word failed. God kept his promise. And this is the truth. God's promises are not hurried. But God's promises are never late. God's promises are not hurried, but they are never late. Throughout the Old Testament, God made specific promises about the coming Messiah. Isaiah 7:14 says that he would be born a virgin. 2 Samuel, the whole chapter 7, that he would come from the line of David. Micah 5:2, that he would be born in Bethlehem. And Isaiah 53, our Messiah would suffer for sinners. And friends, Jesus fulfilled all of these. All of these promises, all of these prophecies, not partially, not approximately, not symbolically, precisely. He didn't fulfill just one or two promises. He fulfilled over 300 promises about him coming. Another incredible thing about Christmas is that Christmas is God's public declaration that he keeps his word. This year, as you celebrate Christmas and you think of yourself as lonely and disregarded, just remember this. Every time you think of Christmas or sing a Christmas song or see a tree or lights, just remember the God who created all things, who loved you so much, keeps his word. And I know maybe this Christmas might be not a happy time for some of you. I know some of you have been praying for your children for decades, for years, that they would come to know him, to live for him. And I know if you're honest, there might have been moments in your life where you wondered, maybe God's just not going to save them. You know, maybe I've been praying for nothing. You know, my brother's never going to change. My sister's never going to change. My son will never change. My daughter, my wife, my husband. I want you to know that that prayer is heavy. It's not emotionalism. It's not cheap comfort, because Scripture, God's Word, gives us real reason to hope. And this Christmas, maybe you're thinking, oh man, another Christmas. and my kids, my spouse, my friends, they don't know the risen Savior. And they may never know Him. That's what you're thinking. But Christmas, this Christmas, gives us reason to hope. Because there was once a man who lived his entire life in rebellion against God. He had no lifetime of obedience. He had no chance of making things right. No opportunity to prove anything. He had never attended church. No moral transformation. In the world's eyes, he was considered worthless and pitiful. No lifetime of obedience. No chance to make it right. No opportunity to prove anything. Just a broken man. A man with nothing to offer. Completely bankrupt physically and spiritually. Not an ounce of goodness in him. Yet with a dying breath and in desperation, with nothing left to offer, he looked over to Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." What was Jesus' answer? "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus gave him everything. Everything. And that's what Christmas is all about. That Christ comes and God gives us everything in Christ Jesus. And this is our Christmas present from heaven above. This moment of Christmas tells every person in this room, your prayers matter. Keep praying. Keep praying. God's timing is different than our timing. As long as there is breath in a person's life, there is hope. Think about it. And here's the other thing. Even when there is no breath left, God is still God. He is God. So this morning, if you're a parent, or a brother or sister, or whoever you are, and you're praying that someone in your life that you love deeply would return to Christ, that would come to Christ, that would trust Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. This, where you're sitting. Lord, I want to entrust my child to you, trust my spouse and my brother, my sister, my friend, my neighbor, to your mercy, to your timing, and to your faithful love. In Christ's name. Friends, our prayers are never wasted. And our God is never finished. He's an amazing God. I've heard story after story of that last conversation someone had with someone in the hospital with no hope. But in that circumstance, that person gives their heart to Christ. I've heard stories of people dying and talking to their children and hearing, "Oh, my mom and dad, you know, they prayed for me all their lives." And then now that they're gone, they realize, wow. and they've come to faith. There's hope, friends. The thief on the cross gives us all hope. Pray, keep praying for our loved ones. I always tell people, think about this. What if it does cost, like, it's like you die, and your death is what brings your son, your grandkids, your friends to Christ? And you think, oh, it's so sad, I don't get to see them come to Christ. Wait a minute. Yes, you will. Because you're going to spend eternity with them. And this little life that we live is nothing compared to what we're going to see and bask in heaven forever. And I tell you what, I think I'd rather take that than have a couple hours or years. Friends, we have a perfect Savior. He's perfect. And what feels like a long wait today, one day may just seem like a moment. And some prayers are answered in ways we've never seen, and we may never see. Some prayers are answered through our tears and brought on later in life. And this is why I say Christmas is for older people, not so much for younger kids. Because Christmas tells us that God is never late. And God never forgets. And Christmas answers that question that delay is not denial. Think about that. Delay is not denial. God is never late. He is always faithful. So every promise fulfilled in Christ, He promises. And His first coming guarantees every promise to our third point, to His second coming. God draws near to bring us home. So like I said the first time, God draws near in our weakness. God draws near to keep His promises. And lastly, God draws near to bring us home. The Jesus who came near is the Jesus who will come again and bring us home. And this is eternal hope, friends. This confidence that death does not have the final word, that Christ prepares for us. And you guys, we need to hear these words. Jesus speaks these words to these men, to His disciples. These men were afraid of loss. They were afraid of separation. They were afraid what was going to happen after Jesus leaves them. But listen to what Jesus says to them in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus is talking again to His disciples. These guys are fearful, confused. They're afraid of separation and what's going to happen. And Jesus says on the night before His crucifixion, Jesus speaks to His disciples. Again, these men's hearts were troubled. He didn't give them timelines or charts. He just gave them a promise. John 14. Listen to these words. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you notice the tenderness in Jesus' words? He doesn't say, I'll send for you guys. He says, I will come. again and take you to myself. Friends, Christmas, when he came the first time, is telling us that his promise was perfect. He promises everything that God has promised about his first coming proves that he's coming again a second time. And Jesus says, I will come again. So friends, heaven is not some vague idea. It is prepared. Jesus says, I go prepare. Friends, heaven is not some generic, just floating clouds. It's personal. Jesus says, I will come again and take you to myself. And heaven is not some distant place. It's relational. He says that where I am, you may be also. And this Christmas, I know some of you are saying, you just don't know, young man. I know many of you have downsized your homes. Many of you have to let go of your possessions, things that you've collected over your lifetime. Many of you have buried your loved ones. And sometimes it feels like life is a long process of pain and loss. But Jesus, his promise here is that we're not losing anything. We're moving. We're getting closer to our Savior. Friends, the manger was never the end of a story. It pointed forward. It pointed to the cross. It pointed to the resurrection. And it points us to the future hope in Christ. And the same Jesus who came near in a manger 2,000 years ago is preparing a place for his people. And he will come again personally, visibly. And he's going to bring us home. So all these things that we are getting rid of and downsizing, it's okay. Because there are only two things that are going to leave this earth. God's word and God's people. We're not moving towards uncertainty. We are moving each day, every Christmas, towards Christ. That's why I love Christmas. Because every Christmas we celebrate, we are getting closer and closer to that great day when he comes back for each and every one of us. And we see in his word that he keeps his promises. He draws near to us, and he's coming again. Jesus came near because we could not reach God on our own. And this morning, I speak to the person who maybe feels troubled. Not only by life, but maybe you feel troubled by where you stand with God. Christmas is not merely a comforting story. It's a saving message. The child laid in that manger grew up to bear our sins on the cross. He lived the life that none of us could live. He died the death that every one of us deserve. You are not saved today because you're a good person. You are not saved because you are religious. You are not saved by trying harder. You are not saved because you're a loving person. You are not saved because you love your children or your friends. We can only be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And like the thief on the cross, All it takes is just saying, Jesus, save me. Jesus came near because we could not reach him on our own. And if you've never truly trusted Christ, and I'm not just talking about, oh, I know of Christ. Oh, I believe in Christ. I'm talking about placing your faith in Christ. The Bible says that even the demons believe, but they haven't trusted him. Friends, let's not be like the thief on the cross. Let's cry out to him now. Let's turn from trusting yourself and let's rest in the finished work of our Savior. And guess what? He will not turn you away. He will not turn you away. So, as we gather these truths together this Christmas, we remember that God draws near in our weakness. God keeps every promise he has made, every one of them. And God prepares a place and he will come again. Christmas is not merely a celebration of a baby who was born. It is the announcement of a Savior who came, who stays, and who will return one day in glory. And one day, friends, Jesus will come again. And he's not coming as a baby in a manger, but as the King of glory and all power, strength. And one day he promises to wipe away every tear from our eyes. He will heal every sorrow. And he will bring us safely home. That Jesus is the Jesus we celebrate this Christmas. What a hope we have. What a Savior we serve. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're weary this morning, rest in him. If you're waiting, trust in him. And if you're fearful, hope in him. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come before you as weary people. We're not pretending to be strong, but trusting that you draw near to those who wait upon you. And Lord, we thank you for the wonder of Christmas, that you did not remain distant, but you loved us so much that you sent your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he came in our darkness to carry our weaknesses, to bring us light and life. And we thank you that every promise that you have spoken is true. Not one of your words have failed. And the promises fulfilled in Christ's first coming, Lord, assures us that every promise yet to come will also stand. And Lord, I just lift up the parents, the brothers and sisters, the friends in here who have prayed for their children, their friends, their spouses for many years. Lord, you know every name. You know every tear. Lord, would you answer those prayers? And Lord, where there is weariness, please give us endurance. Where there is sorrow, give us comfort. Where there is waiting, give us hope. Help us to trust that our prayers are not wasted, that your mercy can reach the darkest, the furthest place. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of Christ, that he goes to prepare a place for us, and that one day he will come again and bring us home. But until that day, Lord, may we just rest in Christ, trusting his finished work, walking in the quiet confidence that you are faithful in all things, And we pray all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.